In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation on this wonderful Sunday. So great to be with you, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. So let's open up our hearts, our minds to God by turning to Mary. Mary is truly the Mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church. Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. So let's say that prayer that Mary loves most. And that prayer is the Hail Mary. Mary is, of course, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let's pray to Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn from Mary to our spiritual director. Who is our spiritual director? It is the Holy Spirit. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us His presence. Holy Spirit has many titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. It's also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sanctifier. He's also known as the Interior Master. St. Paul goes on to say to us that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light, a lot of joy, and the interior fire of love. As we say our traditional prayer to the Holy Spirit. And that is, Come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you to our Perseverance family on this wonderful Sunday. Sunday, of course, is the day of the Lord. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Great to be with you. So we'd like today to offer our prayers for all of you. I would like to place all of you on the altar in the Opus Dei, which is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And I'd like to pray in a special way first for our own sanctification, that all of us will make a concerted effort to really grow in holiness. As Jesus himself says, he says, Be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. I'd like to pray for your children, that they would be protected from the onslaught of evil that's surrounding them today, especially in the educational system, is trying to impose upon our children a false sense of identity. So I'd like to pray in a special way for your children, that they would be protected, especially through your education, because the first teachers of children have to be their parents. So make sure that you are constantly educating your children. You're catechizing them. You're teaching them. You're informing them as to what the errors are. You're weeding out the wrong ideas that are maybe being sown in their hearts. Sad to say that that's the truth. We live in a tough world, but it's incumbent upon us as priests to preach the truth, parents to preach the truth, catechists to preach the truth, and to speak out against errors and lies. My last intention would be that all of us would have a great desire to pray. Prayer is so very important. Our salvation depends a lot upon our prayer life. For that reason, St. Augustine says, he who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. So well said. He who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Let's pray that we would, let's pray that we really take our prayer life seriously. So those are my intentions I'd like to offer for all of you, that all of you would be blessed on this Sunday. And every Sunday, my friends, we celebrate the Paschal Mystery. We celebrate the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Christ. We celebrate especially the Resurrection of Christ every Sunday when we celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. How true. We celebrate the Sacrifice of the Mass, then we celebrate our Lord on Calvary, but also our Lord risen from the dead. So Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's a day of joy. It's a day of joy. So may we rejoice with these words. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Sunday is also, should be family day. First of all, the family of God in Mass. We're going to Mass. We're participating fully, actively, and consciously in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And then, it's Family Day, which we're called to try to bond with our family members, to pray with our family members, have a good meal with our family members, to talk with our family members, to joke around with our family members, to enjoy being in the presence of our family members. God has purposely placed us in the family, and we're in the family of God, which is the church, but we all have our natural families, and it's a good idea to try to bond with them. Try to bond with them on this Sunday, which is the Lord's Day. So, as always, Sunday is a day in which the church offers us three readings and the responsorial psalm. You probably notice, if you pay attention to the Mass on Sunday, that the first reading and the Gospel reading have the same theme. You'll see that today. I repeat, the first reading, which is usually taken from the Old Testament, and the last reading, which is the Gospel reading, has the same theme. And the responsorial psalm is a prayer over the first reading. So let's try to give you a little bit from the readings today. We have, first reading is taken from, I call him the Shakespeare of the Old Testament, because he's so eloquent, articulate, so poetic, so mystical, so mellifluous in the way he expresses the Word of God. And it's one of the major prophets. Who are the major prophets? They are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Here we have the prophet Isaiah. Very, very beautiful means by which he communicates to us. And the essence of the prophet Isaiah, he says, not to be frightened, be strong, fear not. And he says, our God is coming to save us. He comes with vindication. And he says that the ears of those who are deaf will be cleared. And he says, the tongue of those who are mute will sing. There you have the basic theme of Isaiah, that the ears of the deaf will hear, and the tongue of the mute will speak. That is the essential message of the prophet Isaiah. The message is the importance of hearing. Hearing with our physical ears, but also hearing with the ears of our soul. And then also the importance of speaking. I don't know if you ever noticed the connection between hearing and speaking. Have you ever noticed that? Have you? There is a real connection between hearing, listening, and speaking. What I'm saying is, if you don't hear clearly, if you have problems with hearing, then you're probably not going to be able to speak that well. They're interconnected. I'll tell you a funny story to illustrate this. That if we don't hear well, then we're not going to be speaking well. And sometimes misinterpreting people. Here's a funny story. There was a couple that was married for 65 years. They're both in their 90s. And they're from the South. And it's a cold night, and they're sitting in front of the fire. And the old lady doesn't hear that well. Her husband, moved by a very romantic and poetic impulse, says to his wife, in typical Southern drawl, he says, honey, honey, you've been tried and true all these years. She says, what? He says, honey, honey, you've been tried and true all these years. What? So he says a little bit louder. Honey, you've been tried and true all these years. She says, and I'm tired of you too. And I'm tired of you too. So she didn't hear him properly. And he was actually giving her a compliment, and she ends up by insulting her husband. How often that happens? How often that happens? How often we can be deaf and we can be mute and we can misinterpret when we don't hear properly? It's a good story, isn't it? It's a funny story because it's a play in words, how the old lady could not hear properly. And she thought her husband was putting her down. Well, he was really complimenting her. So that's the first reading is Isaiah saying that our ears will be open and our tongue will be loosened. The responsorial psalm is taken from Psalm 146. And the antiphon is related to our famous principle and foundation. Why are we created? Why are we created? Saint Ignatius says that we are created to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that to serve others and to, as well as to save our souls. We're created to praise God, to reverence God, to serve others, and to praise our souls, and to save our souls. Then the second reading, we're reading the letter of Saint James. And he says that we should have faith. And the message of St. James is pretty strong. And he says we should not have partiality. In a certain sense, not to have prejudice. And St. James gives a very concrete example. And I think all of us can identify with this concrete example of St. James. So it says, try to imagine that this has happened to all of us in one way or another. So you imagine that there's a man that comes to you're in maybe a meeting, and there's a man with gold rings. Maybe he's got a very elegant suit on. His shoes are polished. He's well-groomed. He's very articulate. He's very eloquent. Very handsome. Okay, and then in the same room, you have a man who's shabbily dressed. His hair is disheveled. His shoes are untied. Maybe his shoes have mud on them. He's got some... His pants are ripped. And he smells bad. He's exuding a bad smell. Now, St. James says, well, what is our natural reaction? Tell the man with the golden rings, who's handsome, well-polished, oh, sit next to me on this comfortable sofa. What about the poor shabby man? Well, you can stand in the corner over there, near the closet. Or you can sit at my footstool. And St. James goes on to point out, are you not showing prejudice in that you're preferring the rich man over the poor man? I think all of us have done that in one way or another. And James goes on to point out that didn't God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and the heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? Jesus will go down to say, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So maybe let's examine our lives. Let's examine our lives. Do we have maybe a prejudicial attitude? Maybe we look down on certain people. We have preferences. We have favoritism. Maybe we look down upon the poor. Maybe we look down upon those who are marginalized. Maybe we have these prejudices within our hearts. If that's the case, it's a good idea to try to change. Now the gospel reading today, you're going to see that there's a parallel between the first reading of Isaiah, which speaks about the deaf and the mute, the deaf hearing and the mute speaking. So we see Jesus busy in his apostolic work. We're reading Mark chapter 7. So Jesus he's leaving Tyre and Sidon to the Sea of Galilee. And he goes into a district called the Decapolis. What Decapolis really means is Decapolis. That's Greek. Deca, where we have the Decalogue. Deca means 10. Polis is Greek for city. It's the district of the 10 cities. So he enters into this place called Decapolis, and they bring to Jesus a deaf man who has a speech impediment. And as we said, when someone cannot hear, usually he has problems in speaking. So we have this deaf mute who's brought to Jesus. And they beg Jesus to lay his hands upon this man. So Jesus takes him apart from the crowd, working with this deaf mute. And Jesus, with his fingers, he places his fingers in the ears of this man who's deaf. Then he spits and he touches his tongue with his spittle. Then Jesus, what does he do? He looks up to heaven. And groaning, he says, this gospel we have the original language of Jesus. The original language of Jesus, and he says, Ephatha. Ephatha is Aramaic or the language of Jesus. And it means, be opened. Be open. And immediately the ears of this man was opened. So his ears were open and his speech impediment was removed. And he spoke plainly. Now what follows this is Jesus orders them not to tell anyone. Jesus orders them not to tell anyone. Because if that's the case, Jesus will not be able to go publicly into any place. They'll basically mob him, but not to tell anyone about this great miracle. But it's interesting that even though Jesus says this, the more he ordered them not to tell these great miracles, the more they proclaimed it. And the people were exceedingly astonished. And they said, He has done all things well. This is Jesus. He's done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. To make the deaf hear and the mute speak. So here, once again, my friends, we have an extraordinary miracle of Jesus. An extraordinary miracle of Jesus is a miracle of healing. So all of you are able to see that the real parallel and the connection between the first reading and the gospel reading. And the parallel theme between the first reading and the gospel reading, I think, is very clear. And it's related to two physical ailments or problems. It's the reality of hearing or not being able to hear. As well as muteness, not being able to speak, and how they're interconnected. Deafness and muteness. Now, reading this from Isaiah, and then we're reading this from the Gospel. What about us? What about you? What about me? What about you? What about me? Because what we have to do is we have to try to apply the Word of God to our own lives. You might even apply the biblical method that I've taught you over the past few months. You might apply it as you read and meditate upon the Word of God today. And that would be the five steps. Read, speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Memorize. Try to memorize the basic content. Understanding. Understanding, what is the basic message of the Word of God today? Then personal understanding. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to me? Because it is the Word of God that is being addressed to all of us right now. What is God saying? What is God speaking to you right now? What is He saying to you? How is God's Word being addressed to you and to me right now? And last but not least, what about this? How can we put into practice? How can we put into practice the Word of God? There is the big challenge. There is a big challenge for all of us. How can we, right now, how can we listen to the Word of God? And how can we put into practice? Some people will say, well, God never speaks to me. God speaks to us in many ways, but unfortunately we're not able to listen to it. We are kind of like the deaf mute. We don't listen to God speaking to us. So our prayer should be the prayer of the prophet Samuel. What was his prayer? Prayer is what we should say today. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Beautiful prayer. Let's say that prayer often. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Beautiful prayer. Let's turn to Mary. This week we celebrate the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's right. We celebrate the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary this Wednesday. That's right. This Wednesday is September 8th. It's 9 days, 9 months after the Immaculate Conception, which we celebrate the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary is a great model for us. She's a great model for us. Mary, what did she do? Mary listened to the Word of God. She listened very attentively to the Word of God. And she responded. How did she respond? She responded by saying, Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to the word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. My friends, unfortunately for us that are here in our Perseverance family, once again, I have to celebrate the 8 o'clock Mass. I'm already a couple of minutes late because I wanted to spend this time with you. So I'll be going to Mass now. I'm going to place all of you on the altar. That's right. I'll place all of you on the altar. And one of my primary intentions as I place all of you on the altar will be that all of us will be able to listen attentively to the Word of God. Not only to listen attentively to the Word of God, but also to put in practice, to listen but to act. So I'm going to give you my priestly blessing, and I will place you and your family members all on the altar, that you have a very peaceful and joyful Sunday, the day in which we celebrate our Lord's resurrection. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you in a very special way today on this Sunday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it.